Our reading this morning is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were like straight feet, and their sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of the burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined to one another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went, thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on this side, and every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of the great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood, and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud of the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of the one that spake.
Good morning. I think for the first time I have a presentation up here. And don't worry, it's just pictures. So there's no text and that kind of stuff to have to squint at or anything. I do have a little setup here on the side. And kind of how I'm going to walk through this today. And this came from Inger. So Inger said, "Do you need any subjects for your sermons?" And I said, "Absolutely." And one of the nice things about that is I do a sermon on something I probably never would have done. So it pushes me and it stretches me in a certain direction. And she said, "How about the pyramids? We're talking about the pyramids here," and probably watched a little bit too much of the History Channel or something like that. And you get into all of that. Well, so I'm going to start off. This is kind of like Alice in Wonderland, you know, the verdict first and the trial afterwards. I'm going to give you where I'm going to end up first, yeah? So you have no question about where I'm going. You can sit back and relax for the rest of it and just look at what I'm doing, and then you know exactly where I'm going to end up. So we're going to start off with not the pyramids, something better than the pyramids, Pumapunku. And et cetera, yeah? So I'm going to give you a list of all kinds of little things I'm going to go through. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on them, but I do have interesting photos, and I just want you to get a sense of why I made the journey from pyramids to little green men. And what you'll see is that all of this is intimately connected. Anytime you start talking about mysteries of the pyramid, and then you get someone with an English accent and a slightly deeper voice than mine, and then you put some creepy music in the background, and all of a sudden you think, how credible, and it's just bunk. All right, so that's so now you kind of know where I'm going. Then I'm going to talk about Texas sharpshooters. I'm going to take a dig at my fellow countrymen in Texas. Alien development. How to stop aliens, and then I, unlike Alan last week, I dare to have asked questions. So I say, if you have questions, please throw them up, and that will be the end of what we are doing today. Why is the world such a mess? Why is the world such a mess? Well, if the first thing that came into your head was the sin, yeah, the fall, you would be right. If you were a traditional Jew, you would follow that up with two other things that I think you'll all agree with, and that is the fall. The fallen angels are what are referred to as the sons of God in Genesis 6 and Daniel 10, who brought in things like the art of warfare and the art of drugs and idolatry and how humans can destroy themselves even quicker. Yeah? And powers and principalities, the corruption of powers and principalities. If you are a practicing Christian, probably if you're here today, you are a conspiracy theorist. You are. For we fight not against people, but everybody together, powers and principalities, the dark forces of this world. I mean, how much more conspiracy theorist does it get than that? You think there's a devil, the prince of the power of the air and the king of this age. If you're a practicing Christian, you also believe in extraterrestrial life, the heavenly realms, where God is, made of spirit. God came to earth many times as an angel of the Lord, finally as the Christ. Many of you, it says in Hebrews, have entertained angels unawares. The Bible is very clear on extraterrestrial life. But Satan is the ruler of this world, and this is where I'm going to end up. And his number one goal is to mess up God's plans. So speculations about pyramids, alien civilizations, alien technologies, and I hope many of you have watched these, you know, things online or on TV from the History Channel, Eric von Daniken from the 1970s already, you know, ancient astronauts and something else, UFOs, all of that. I will not tell you today that these do not exist, but they are of the devil. They are intimately linked with the occult and Gnosticism. The core practices of the Nazi regime had to do with the occult. If you were, you know, the people that were read in the Nazi party, and you can also read about the Nazis going to Tibet and getting into the occult aspects of Buddhism. The USSR, I'll come back and say more about that. There used to be a lot of UFO sightings when the USSR was the USSR, and now that it's Russia, there are less. That's kind of strange. And this plays into, as Michael Shermer, the great atheist, said, plays into the human religious impulse to look for something greater than we are. So so you know where I'm going. I'm going to tell you that the actual true UFO sightings, you know, the ones where people have actually seen something but it didn't show up on radar, or it showed up on radar but no one saw anything, or there was a picture taken of it but no one saw, you know, the person who took the picture didn't notice it. There are some things out there. There are encounters, huh? So back, what was it, the 1980s, we had the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Maybe you saw that. What does that actually mean, the third kind? And actually, it was Close Encounter of the Fourth Kind, but we'll get into that. So let's just take a look. I'm going to go through Pumapunku, the pyramids, Pakal's rocket, Nazca lines, probably you've heard of those before, Tolima fighter jets, Egyptian light bulbs, UFOs in ancient art, crystal skulls, and Ezekiel's wheel, which we just read about. So here we are at the pyramids. I'm not starting there because, this is Pumapunku. Pumapunku is in the highlands of Bolivia, and according to the UFO folks, it's better than the pyramids. It is built directly by extraterrestrials. Archaeologists, if you listen to what these people say, are, quote, baffled. Until you talk to the archaeologists, and they're not baffled at all. Stones are of diorite. Diorite is a very hard stone. Maybe you've seen some of these Egyptian statues that they're black and they're highly polished. That's diorite. And they say you can only cut diorite with a diamond or a laser, yeah? But the stones at Pumapunku are sandstone. You would need metal chisels and metal saws, and they didn't have them, except for the places that you can see where they forged copper chisels and copper saws. Well, it's not hard enough. Yes, they mixed it with nickel and arsenic, those stupid ancient people those stupid ancient Incas somehow got around to figuring that out. And we can see the dyes. We can see the dyes for chisels. We can also see spacing holes, yeah, that were used to drag these things around. And of course, these are perfect. They must have been dug by it. You know, they must have had to be drilled out by some kind of alien technology. It's actually pretty simple. They talk about. Here's one. This is part of the quarry that is next to it, and you see how the things are being dug out. This is one of the problems with the people who are saying things about the pyramids and Machu Picchu and Stonehenge and this kind of thing. Actually, you can go to the quarries, which are very often very close by, and see the stuff they hadn't finished yet, which gives you a very good idea of exactly how they made it. Yeah, but you will never see that in these specials on TV. Here was the guy was saying, this is amazing alien technology. They have right angles. These are perfect right angles. I don't know how many of you are carpenters out there, but even on his own thing here, you can see that it is not a perfect right angle, and that's taken from the video. It's like, you know, so what happens is, you know, you kind of get hypnotized by this, and you're thinking of that, and there are deep voices, and there are people up there that are professors of this and experts, and they talk so convincingly, and they're just full of prunes. Then they say, well, there's no alphabet. How could they have ever built this? And then they had iconography, like the Egyptian hieroglyphics. It's not a problem. They also say logic doesn't exist here because the whole place was ripped to pieces as if there were an alien war here. This is the History Channel. An alien war. And we have those woodcuts, you know, from the 1800s, showing people, the local people, going to Pumapunku and saying, hey, these are great rocks. Well, we'll take a few. And walking away with them. Yeah, so it wasn't an ancient war. It's just the local people just started tearing the thing down. Okay, so this is the kind of level. This is the their masterpiece of this was direct alien technology. And of course, every time that we keep getting into the pyramids, Machu Picchu, Stonehenge, the pyramids, it always leads over to UFOs. Alien technology, something bigger and better than we are. Yeah, and that's why I ended up, Inger, with Little Green Men. Yeah. Let's go to the pyramids. The pyramids, they call this the most familiar and most mysterious pile of rocks in the world. Yeah, we know very well how they made the pyramids. And there's speculation out there. There are different kinds of ramps they could have used. There are different kinds of floating techniques. There are different kinds of engineering that they could have used. But there's nothing here that the archaeologists and engineers are saying, we need to levitate this with some kind of alien technology. That just isn't part of the equation. So what I think we do often is we demean the intelligence of these ancient people. One thing one thing I was digging across was, did the ancients know anything about the stars? And I found out that the Greeks were talking like 250 years BC, they were already saying, oh, the stars are just like our sun, which is really big. They're just farther away, so that's why we don't feel their heat and don't really get, you know, and it's like, that sounds right. Yeah. So to think that these people were just a bunch of ignorant cavemen sitting there picking their nose, watching UFOs come in and lift these things and going, wow, yeah, I'd like to live there. You know, is just not in the evidence. It's not in the evidence. Okay, so it's not the greatest marvel and the greatest mystery, but of course, if you've ever been there, if you've ever seen them, they are quite impressive. Many of the stones were mined in the quarries, so you can see these stones and the ones that they haven't actually finished. One of the things that they have there is an abandoned obelisk. We were just in Rome. They have an obelisk there in Rome that is just magnificent. There's another one in Egypt right now, but as they were going through the rock, using rocks to go through the rock millimeter at a time, the thing cracked. Yeah. So if any of you have had a little project in your garage and the thing cracked, well, imagine that, you know, times 10. They assert that the moving and lifting into place had to be levitation, quote, super technology and anti-gravity, except for the fact that there are hoist grips and rope holes and stones have drag marks and wooden rollers. They're cutting limestone with metal saws. You can cut limestone with a metal saw and sand. You don't even need teeth on the saw. They put the sand in the groove and it works quite well. Same thing for drilling. And I didn't know that, but I thought, oh, that's pretty clever. How do you move stone? Well, you don't have to make it weightless. I guess you could. They talked about levitating and handheld beams. I think I have a handheld beam here. A handheld beam. But there are plenty of pictures in the hieroglyphs of wooden sleds and ships. Huh, who'd have thunk it? And the hieroglyph for the word sled is a picture of a sled. Yeah, so it's really clear what is going on here. Now, another one, I looked past the History Channel. I looked into Nikola Tesla. Oh, Nikola Tesla. He had all kinds of things to say about the pyramids, getting the energy from the moon and the tidal currents, and they have really great CGI for this, and it comes across as so interesting. But one of them was that the pyramids, this is from Google Earth yesterday. The speed of light is 299,792,458 meters per second. And the coordinates of the Great Pyramid are 29,979,2458 degrees north. Jaw dropping. Yes, Jan's jaw has actually dropped. Isn't that amazing? And it's just hooey. It is. They didn't know about meters. We know about meters. Yeah? And so, and for those of you who are still in yards, a meter is just slightly longer than a yard. So we know about meters. They didn't. They measured things in cubits. Now, if it had been exactly the cubits of the speed of light, and it's only one coordinate. The other coordinate is, the number's not up there, but it coordinates perfectly with Robin Williams' suicide. So the speed of light and Robin Williams' suicide coordinate at the... It's just bunk. It's just bunk. This is true. This is true that goes through part of the pyramid, but not through the center of the pyramid. Well, it moved in the desert and, yeah, you've never seen this thing, have you? Okay, so that was Nikola Tesla talked about channeling magnetism through this, or light or electricity, and the numbers 3, 6, and 9 are found in there. And if you've taken high school geometry, you know the importance of 3, 6, and 9, so stop it. Then they show you a academic paper that says electromagnetism can resonate in granite. And then say they put electromagnetism into the pyramids. And you think, oh, and it resonated here more than there. And it's like, no, this paper has nothing to do with the pyramids. And of course, if you put electromagnetism on just about anything, it'll resonate. Yeah? But they don't get into that. They just put two things. And this is where we get really sucked into these programs. They come up with false dilemmas. So my son comes up and he stands next to me, and to his great chagrin, he is shorter than I am, at least at this point. Yeah? And so it could be, yeah? So this is a dilemma, yeah? Either he's going to grow a lot more, or this is evidence of Nephilim giant DNA in my DNA. Oh, those are the two things you come up with. Really? Is that right? You don't look at his mother, who is this tall, and he's kind of in the middle. No, you don't do that. So what they do is they come up with false diet. Either there was a war at Pumapunku, an alien war at Pumapunku, or there was a nuclear explosion. What? You know, so these are false. So it forces your brain to choose one of those, and then you think, well, the alien stuff, that seems pretty consistent. And then they tell you another alien story, another alien story, another alien story. This is Pakal. This chap here, can you see him in the middle? See his foot, his leg, there's his head. Eric von Däniken gets very excited when he sees this, yeah? And he says, this is some of the clearest proof of aliens. Here is a king. We know he's a king, Incan king. And he is clearly flying a spaceship. Here are the flames coming out of the back. He's sitting on this thing. He's got controls he's manipulating here. He's got like his foot on a shifter on a motorcycle. And, you know, you can see all the... This is some of the clearest evidence. Oops. Except you don't look at it like that. You look at it like this. And what this actually is, this middle section here they want to call a spaceship, is actually the tree of life. And this is his journey into death. He's dead. But I might have had some of you there for a second. Okay? There are many more, huh? If I don't cover your favorite History Channel thing up here, please ask questions about it or fine. These are the Nazca lines. You know, and you can see from a great height, you can see a spider or a bird, and they call these the runways of the aliens. The runways of the aliens. Here we have a hummingbird. Now, if you're standing on the ground, do you see a hummingbird? Well, no. So people could not have made that. You would have. Here's another false dichotomy. If you can't see it by standing like this, aliens made it, because they come from way up high, which is where you have to be to see it. But that's just bunk, right? So if I said to you, put a huge square out, you would say, well, all right, so I'll walk from here to over there, and we'll get all that cleared off, and that'll be, and then we'll get a 90 degree here, and then we'll clear all this off, and I'll go over there and do 90 degrees, and standing here, you can't see the whole square, but you could do that. Well, they could do this, and it was part of their religion. So the priests would be up front, and they'd be walking there, kicking these small red stones to the side, and underneath the sand is much lighter. So you get this. Oh, but they're very keen on this. You see here, you see how it's flat? You can see kind of the mountain comes up and stops there. Here's the mountain coming up, and it stops. The mountain rises up, and the top of the mountain is flat. And the debris from what the top of the mountain, where would have been the top of the mountain, all of that debris you'd expect it to be strewn all around, but it isn't. It's not even there, as if it was evaporated by alien technology. Except for those of you who have graduated high school know a plateau when you see it, and we know all about plateaus, yeah? But that's not how it's presented. It's presented in false dichotomies. And so when we get into the occult, and I'm sorry to our Pentecostal and charismatic friends, they have gotten into this as well, and they start giving you false dichotomies, false choices. There are many other choices, and they don't give them to you because they want to push their point. This is a crocodile. This is from Tolima, and they found a bunch of these little things, and they have sort of stylized little animals like this. They have flying fish, and they have insects, and they have all kinds of things. And they have fighter jets. They have thousands of these golden things that these people, this was, you know, their art form, and they are about 10 or 12 that look like a fighter jet. Wow. Proof that they interacted with ancient aliens. Oops, here's another one. Look at this. They actually did a mock-up of this. They took it and they scaled it up and it flew. Well, when I say they scaled it up, they took all these little curlicues off the front of the wing, because then it wouldn't fly, and then they put a curve in the wing, otherwise there wouldn't have been any lift, and they added a motor and a propeller. But otherwise, this is an airplane. No. It's a kind of catfish. Okay? But you're not presented with that. It's hidden from you. Yeah? But this is what Gnosticism is. Gnosticism, which we had right as soon as the Bible was coming out, right as Paul was preaching, this Gnosticism means Gnosticism, the Gnostics have knowledge. They have knowledge that you don't have. And this appeals to that. I know about the ancient pre-Columbian fighter jets, and you don't. Yes, this was me. This is a picture of me. This is how I felt while doing this. I just threw that in there. We also have Egyptian light bulbs. Can you see it? That big thing right there? There's a snake inside the light bulb. These are light bulbs. These are proof that in the Great Pyramids, there were light bulbs. And these light bulbs lit the way. Why? Because you can't light a torch in a pyramid. One of the guys said, I was in the Great Pyramid of Giza and I'm walking along. All of a sudden the lights went out. So I reached in and got my lighter, my Zippo, and it wouldn't light. Proof, right? Yeah? It wasn't anything wrong with his Zippo. And he's not lying because he's on the History Channel, right? So this is actually sort of a creation story. And they said, no, but you know, you have to have light bulbs, and these were the light bulbs. And actually, and you see this very often, it wasn't just for the regular people, it was for the special people. Only the special people knew this. Only the special people in the United States know about Area 51. And if you really know about Area 51, you know that it's not the top black ops site. There's another one. It's like, oh, give me oxygen. This works reasonably well until you go into one of these pyramids, and all of this is new. It looks very, very colorful because they, in their own words, had to clean off hundreds of years of black soot from torches. I'm almost done. Here is the Virgin Mary. Do you see the UFO? I mean, it looks like a UFO. It's kind of a wonky little thing back there, but it's actually the heavenly host, and it's got little gold coming out from it. And this is a painting about Luke, where in the Gospel of Luke, the heavenly host came and announce these things, announce the birth of Jesus, and Mary is actually looking down at the baby Jesus, but no, this is more alien technology linked to the pyramids, linked to Pumapunkah, linked to all these things. And if you're in the know, you know more than other people. You understand. You've seen behind, you know, you've seen behind the curtain of Oz. Here we go. How about this? If that's not alien technology, I don't know what is. It's over here too, a little bit lighter. Of course, you need to understand how the Byzantines drew stuff, and this is the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon looking toward the cross, in effect bowing toward the cross. Here they are again, looking up at this. This clearly is a UFO. No, it isn't. This is the moon. The moon was given human features. So it's a face or it's a little man in there, and that is the moon. But this is used to prove aliens were flying around 500 years ago in our world. Here's a little clearer picture, and you can see the little faces of the moon and the sun looking on Christ. Here is a UFO clearly sending a laser beam down through a window and hitting the Virgin Mary in the head. But this is the impregnation of Mary, and that is a dove, of course, representing the Holy Spirit. And that UFO up there are two rings of angels' faces and their wings. But you got to look close, and they're not going to give you a close-up of it. This is 1930s. Lady walked to the top of this pyramid, an Incan pyramid. She looked down. The sun hit it just right. And what did she find? I mean, no one else could go down because all the men were too big, but she was just skinny enough to get down there. And what did she find? She found one of these. And if you are a fan of Indiana Jones, you know exactly what this is, right? And this is alien, right? This is alien technology. It could actually be an alien. Yeah, just waiting somewhere for you to put his head back on so that they can do their cool alien stuff. It's a fake. They started to appear in the late 1800s when they had technology that could start to machine glass in this way. Again, as we go through our lives, and we will get more and more of this because artificial intelligence is coming out with stuff that will trick you completely. You will see videos of Jim, where Jim is clearly driving his car through the parade and running over people. You saw it with your own eyes on video, and it's so good now, you cannot tell the difference. Yeah? Or I'll be standing up here, and AI will change how my mouth is moving, and they'll put in other words in my voice, and you can't tell. So as we're going on, we get aliens, we get all these different things coming up, and as we are getting maybe more toward the end times, I don't know, I'm not predicting anything, we do see more UFO sightings, and it's always related to the occult. This is the last one I have. This is Ezekiel. And if you just take just the plain old stuff and you just draw the plain old stuff from what Winston read for us this morning, that's what you get. Clearly. And then this is what the scholars would call the cherubim throne. And this was full of Babylonian symbolism. Yeah? This is full of Babylon was the ruler of that area. And of course, they've gone into captivity. And this is showing that this person is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And for them, it would have been very clear. For us, hearing about eyes all around and stuff like that, it's bizarre. Here is somebody who tried to draw based on the scripture, and here is this knucklehead who says, no, actually it wasn't wheels, it was propellers, and you know, it's one more alien spaceship, and that is a picture from Amazon. You can get that on Amazon. Yeah, that book on Amazon. It's there right now. Okay. Well, one of the things that, this is This is a slide of all the different aspects of Ezekiel's first chapter in all kinds of other Babylonian and Middle Eastern art and that kind of thing. So it was right in the center. People knew what this was when they were looking at it. So this is going to be a little fun here. I want to give you an idea. This is called Texas Sharpshooters. And I want to let you feel what it feels like to have a false dichotomy. Yeah? So don't sit there and think that I'm trying to trick you. Just pretend that I'm not. Follow along. Kennedy, as in John F., seven letters. Good. He was in the House of Representatives in 1947. He was runner-up for vice president in 1956. He was president in 1960. And his death was assassination. He was shot in the head. That was the method. He was killed on a Friday. Where? In a Ford car, a Lincoln. You can still see this car. He was next to his wife. He got a warning from a secretary by the name of Lincoln who told him not to go to Dallas. He was succeeded by Lyndon Johnson. His assassin was Lee Harvey Oswald, three names, 15 letters. He was born, Lee Harvey Oswald was born in 1939. The assassin's sentence, he never made it to court. Why? Because when he was captured and he was shooting Kennedy from a warehouse, captured in a theater, and of course, he was shot by Jack Ruby. He was killed by a criminal. Lincoln. Seven letters. I would say that in an English voice with music in the background, and I would lower my voice a little bit. Seven letters. House of Representatives in 1847. Runner-up for Vice President 1856. Well, now you've got my attention. President in 1860, death, assassinated, shot in the head, killed on a Friday in the Ford Theater. Next to his wife, his bodyguard told him not to go to the theater. He was succeeded by Andrew Johnson. The assassin was John Wilkes Booth, three names, 15 letters. Assassin was born 1839. The assassin's sentence, he never made it to court. Why? Because he was captured. He was shot in a theater and captured in a warehouse. That cannot be coincidence. But I have given you a false dichotomy. So let me ruin it for you here. Abraham and John are seven and four letters. House of Representatives in Illinois and Massachusetts. Runner-up for VP was Fremont and Stevenson. One was president when the United States had 33 states and one with 50 states. One was shot by a pistol, one by a rifle, one with one shot, one with multiple shots. Their military service was in the Illinois militia in the U.S. Navy. One was almost 6 foot four and the other one 6 foot one, maybe 6 foot. Where they were shot was in a theater in a car. They were next to their wives, yes, Mary and Jacqueline. They were actually encouraged to go. Lincoln to his wife and Mrs. Connolly encouraged them. The next president's death was throat cancer and a heart attack. The assassin's last words were useless, useless. And Lee Harvey Oswald was, I have nothing more to say to you. The assassins were born in Maryland and Louisiana. One was an actor, one was a soldier. The assassin's death, one was shot by soldiers and one was shot by a career criminal. Does that take the veneer off of that whole thing for you? But this is what we are confronted with in so many things, not just aliens, not just pyramids, but all kinds of issues and why, and this will be my sermon next week, why we have to keep going back to the Bible. Going back to the Bible. I'll talk about deconstructing your faith. Many people are deconstructing their faith. So mega church pastors, Christian singers. They start looking at all the bits and pieces of their faith, and it never really did hang together all that well, but they just believed it, and they start pulling this out and pulling that out and pulling that out, and they say, well, I'll just be spiritual. And I'll tell you why that's the wrong road to go on. So that's the Texas sharpshooter example. In Sky Gods for Skeptics, Michael Shermer says, we haven't found any aliens yet, but it feeds the desire to imagine there's something out there that cares about us. This is a deeply religious impulse. People who have this longing but are not religious are more likely to believe in extraterrestrials being out there because they find it in the occult. So let's recap. And then I'll bring us in for a landing here. There is no physical evidence for extraterrestrials. All documents are made up or partial or unconfirmed. All stories are vague. All videos are obfuscated with strange sounds, clips from scary movies, and there is an assertion that no one has the whole puzzle. And there are levels of top secret clearance that are walled off from other top secret clearances. Everything is vague and unknowable except for a few facts that they can string together and come to amazing conclusions. I've had this private conversation with, fill in, UFO guys, ex-military, ex-government, whatever. I've talked to people who have said that they have talked to people who think that the work they are doing is reverse engineered alien tech. I'm taking this from their own stuff. I was a tech person, and I showed some of this tech to my priest, and he said, burn it. It is of the devil. Well, there you go. I was taken to the ship, climbed a staircase, and came into a large room like a theater, and the inside was bigger than the outside. But isn't that just what they would say if they were from the fourth or fifth dimension? Except it's all described in 3D. Hugh Ross is if you want to go to his website, it's called reasons.org, and it's called Reasons to Believe. He's an astronomer from Caltech. And he says, to be sure, UFOs are sighted. 99.5% of them are explained by natural phenomenon, stars in peculiar places, balloons, reflected light, experimental technology, psychic phenomena, hallucinations, night vision, gas, I think he means like gas from the ground, constellations, International Space Station, or Elon Musk's Starlink satellites, or even Nazi technology, because the Nazis were not going to make an atom bomb where you had to have it so kind of an implosion like this and it would blow up the uranium. They were going to do it with a kind of chemical photosynthesis, and this has led to some pretty weird technology. 1% or 0.5%, there is some sort of real contact that is never positive and always deleterious. Encounters of the first kind are that you're within 150 yards or less. Encounters of the second kind is actually seeing aliens crash or do some funky stuff. Encounters of the third kind are communication with the aliens. And encounters of the fourth kind, you get automatic writing, physical injury, or the abductions. This is where messages come in. People go into a trance. They have automatic writing, and that's what you see up here. This is the Urantia book. The cult of the Urantia Brotherhood. It is 4,000 pages long, and one-third of the content, says here, Life of Jesus, one-third of those 4,000 pages are denying the deity of Christ, even though they say that they venerate him. This is the same with the Pentecostal and charismatic movement in the church. It is intent on diverting people away from the faith or pursue power, abandon truth, and seek truth outside of Scripture. Well, if we have a deficit on truth, yeah? One of the top three men, prophets, whatever you want to call them, in the Urantia Brotherhood was General Dwayne Faw, who was the head of the United States Marine Corps Judge Advocate General and a close friend of my father. who was an organizer of at least one Urantia Brotherhood conference in California. I found this out looking through his papers after his death. You get sucked in. People you admire come and say, look at this. And what does Paul warn us against? Looking at different levels of angels and all that, and that's what it's all about. Same with Scientology. If you want to follow Tom Cruise, he's good looking and rich. Scientology does the same stuff. Okay. One of the things that, should make you suspicious is that UFO sightings are keeping pace with our understanding of technology. In 1910, UFOs were doing about 100 miles an hour. In the 1940s, the Foo Fighters, yeah, so our fighter pilots were seeing weird stuff when they called them Foo Fighters. Most of you might know Foo Fighters as a rock band today, but that's where they get their name. And they were going 1,000 miles an hour. That was the 40s. In the 60s, they were going 6,000 miles an hour, and now they're going 15 to 25,000 miles an hour. That's kind of suspicious, wouldn't you think? They are also keeping pace with the layman's, not the expert's, level of knowledge. Communications from the aliens told us back in the early 1900s, they were aliens from the dark side of the moon. And then we found out, well, actually, you know, people like you and me found out, oh, well, that can't be. And then the aliens, the stories were from Venus. And then it was, we're from Mars. And of course, now we're from other galaxies. Interdimensional travel. And so, Hugh Ross says again, this tells us that we are not dealing with physical beings. To travel at the speed of light, you would have to warp space-time with gravity. And theoretically, we can do this. But the energy that you would need to travel at light speed would be the equivalent to converting the mass of Jupiter into pure energy every second. Nobody's going to visit us. Yeah, there are no physical beings visiting us. Not a single occurrence of these alien vehicles show heat friction. You know, like you've seen the space shuttle come in? There's no heat friction or any sonic boom. When I was a boy, that was one of the things I looked forward to, visiting my grandparents here in Peru, Indiana, were the sonic booms from Grissom Air Force Base. The space shuttle, it's coming in at 15,000 miles an hour, and it has a double sonic boom, but there are exactly zero reports of these things that you would hear or see from UFOs, from alien tech. Hugh Ross again. So this is there's a direct correlation between close encounters and our level of scientific knowledge. Yeah. There's also a direct correlation between close encounters and the level of occult activity in a person's life or those around him. There's not one occurrence of a believer in Jesus Christ being possessed by a demon, not in the Bible, so you don't have to worry. But in Nazi Germany, they used the occult. The USSR, when Hugh Ross was speaking there, he said these people were into occult physics in their universities. They are into occult physics. And they would get obscenities screamed at him and Jesus Christ. They would accuse him, Christ, of being a serial homosexual rapist or screaming and curling up in a ball. Like in an area like this, and like, I'm going to come speak to you, and people are in the back curled up in a ball and screaming during the time of the USSR. He says, and he's a pastor, and they're really into this stuff. He says, the way that you get away from this, so there's this is correlation. This is a scientific looking slide to try to prove my point and hope that you don't think any further than this slide. He says, if you will take the steps to eliminate the occult from your life, that will be the end of your UFO encounters. Jacques Vallée, So some of you who are into this would know the name of Jacques Vallée. And all of the top UFO people say this is interdimensional phenomena. Real beings not subject to our laws of physics. It's the occult. So the non-Christians are saying the same stuff that the occult is based on is what the alien stuff is based on. Again, I say in Hebrews 13:2, some of you have entertained angels unawares. Angels can come here, or demons can come here, in the physical universe. Whatever is behind the occult is behind UFOs. Astronomers who are into the occult go to these observation places. They see UFOs. The astronomers that are not into the occult, that are there every day, always looking into the skies, never see anything. So I'll wrap it up. Why is this world such a mess? Well, we have the sin of man, we have the sin of angels, and we have sin in principalities and powers. Most astronomers see nothing, but sightings have increased dramatically over the last 100 years, along with the suicide rate and occultism, a drop in Christian values, and a search for meaning outside standard religion. Experts agree, Christian or atheist, what we do see is directly correlated with the occult. The occult stands diametrically opposed to the truth of Jesus Christ, but Jesus is the extraterrestrial, fully man, fully God, who brought us to the door of salvation through his work on the cross. And all that is left to you is to believe on him, the living word, through the written word, and that will be next week. Let me just pray, and then I'll take some questions. Father, guide us and direct our paths through your word and your spirit. Help us to grow in our faith and understanding without appeal to those things outside your word. Protect our hearts and our minds from those things that tell us that you are not enough, Father, that your Son wasn't the most special God, incarnate sacrifice for sin, and that your Spirit is just one among many. Help us to grow in the knowledge that your Christ is enough, and that the Bibles in our hands are enough, and there is no other way to you but through him in whose name we pray, Christ Jesus. Amen. Somebody asked me this morning, I think Peter Redman asked me, saying, have you ever done this thing before? And I said, no, this is the first time. You guys are victims of this is the absolute raw stuff. I practiced it a couple times yesterday, but any questions? Max, in the back. Do you want to give him a microphone so we can get it on? Our elite troops in the audio booth can pick this up.
I saw one of your history shows years ago, and the expert said, why would aliens come 1,000 light years to stack stones on top of each other?
Good point. Well, they're going to stack the stones, and then the electromagnetism would be shot out toward the moon, and then the moon and all that power there. You're just not thinking outside the box, Max. But it's true, and of course, you know, but we are a special planet. And one of the things I had to leave it out because it's getting so big. But there's a guy online that says, actually, folks, and he's not a Christian, but he said, actually, folks, we're alone. It takes a universe about this size to get all the stuff that you need if you just start with a big bang to actually make humans, and we are completely alone, so just forget about that other stuff. Also, NASA's looked into it, and if you go from here to, let's say, another star, you're going through space. It's empty, right? It isn't empty. There are 8 protons per square inch. And if you're traveling for 25,000 years at the speed of light, it's like a sandblaster. And it will destroy a craft any bigger than that. So NASA has plans right now to launch a spacecraft that has, you know, hundreds of these little ones that can go to a nearby star or planet, and you know have a chance of surviving the trip there. So you're going. I mean, it looks empty, but it isn't. Now you say, well, then there's interdimensional. Okay, fine. So you just skip over all that. But there's no evidence. There's not an energy source big enough in the universe to. You would need the energy of the universe to skip across it. And of course, we can't do that. Any other questions or comments? Yes. Jim, you're going to get a microphone.
Thank you for that talk today. That was fantastic. Let me get up here and stand up a little bit.
It's kind of off the beaten path.
And I'm just kind of curious that, you know, a lot of us learn in different ways.
Right.
And we respond to teachings. In the case of your presentation today, I look at it, fantastic. I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it. It came to me if it was a mosaic.
Yeah.
Your presentation, if it was a mosaic, maybe I see a little chip of blue, another person sees a little green. You see what I'm saying?
That's how I felt putting it together with all the information.
And so everybody sees one color because we're right up on top of it at this point. But for you as a presenter, and you know both sides of the issues, and your perspective is from all around. In other words, the back, behind, above, to the sides.
Right.
What is the picture that mosaic presents of your presentation?
It's the picture that I came up with was not one I expected or really wanted. Because when we get into sort of demons and occult, I kind of think, I don't want to mess with that. But that's what kept coming out from atheists and Christians. The UFO, so the 99.5% is you're looking out of a window and there's a chandelier behind you. And you're like, look at that, a light in the sky. Come here, honey. You know, and it's very explainable. Yeah. Or it's the Starlink satellites zipping across the sky, or it's the Pleiades rising in the Canadian sky, and it's explainable, or it's military tech or something. Yeah. But the small percentage that we do see that it is verifiable is always always associated with the occult. Always. So correlated with the occult. And I know you scientists are saying, yeah, but correlation is not causation. Sure it is. Just not in a paper that you defend for your PhD. But, there's too much correlation here. And it's always the occult. And of course, those are extraterrestrials that we already believe in. Spirit beings. And we're coming into a time when there's more occult, there's less Christianity, there's less organized religion at all. There's distance from the truth. We're getting farther and farther away. We just had a Supreme Court justice that is a woman but can't define what that is. You know, we're getting way, way, away from the truth. And so the sightings of UFOs are going up and up. It makes sense. It's not what I expected.
Well, thank you very much. And I just appreciate your explanation. And I'm just thinking throughout it came the big picture.
Yeah.
I mean, the big picture.
Yeah.
Well, just how big is the picture, and what is the picture?
Yeah. Well, that's where I ended up, and anyone else who wants to dive into this rabbit hole, see Peter Redman, and you can stand up here. And
I think the picture is bigger. I think the picture is bigger than we ever think.
It was bigger than I thought.
Because we're living in a satanic system.
Yeah.
And it's and it's evil.
Okay, thank you.
This whole thing just makes me think of, just like the History Channel and other sources pick and choose to build their case, it just reminds me so much of how a lot of Christians today who don't rightly divide, they pick and choose just ignore
exactly
like 80% when they think, oh, it's a miracle and it's healing and prayers are always answered and travel safeties.
Yeah.
And they just totally ignore
yeah.
all the Christians
yeah.
that are killed in
yeah.
car accidents
yeah.
or
yeah.
like just died.
This is why I made the prayer that I did, because Pentecostal, if you look at the leaders in the Pentecostal charismatic movement, they were into this automatic writing. And that's an encounter number four, and that is always a cult. And I see this, and unfortunately I see this in my church, that we're going to prophesy. We're going to do something more. The Bible isn't enough. We're going to have further revelation. God's going to give you a special message because the Bible isn't enough. And when the Bible isn't enough and Christ isn't enough, you start to look. And where do you look? What's the world going to give you when you start looking? Occult, aliens, Satanism, nothing, LGBTQ, postmodernism, all that kind of stuff.
I just saw an article this week where the Chinese now are starting to rewrite the Bible.
Yeah.
So we'll get the truth, no doubt.
I have one more sermon that I'm going to do, and I'm a little bit dubious about doing it because I talk about AI every time I come here. But I asked artificial intelligence a couple weeks ago, how would you rewrite the Bible in order to make it true? And it said, well, I'm an AI and I don't really have opinions. And then it gave me that many opinions. About six opinions on what I needed to do to rewrite the Bible in order to make it true. And that is a pretty interesting thing, so we might get into that. But AI is going to be messing up our lives quite a bit. Any other ones? Any other from the source of the pain today? No, nothing? Okay, all right. It started to make, yeah.
And I wanted it to make sense.
I said, I think it all makes complete sense to me. I thought I knew the direction that the answer would be.
Oh.
But I wanted you to present it because you always present it in a way yeah. that's palatable to my children.
Yes,
so
okay.
That was where that basically came from.
I did not know that I would end up here. And please, if you're interested in the pyramids or Machu Picchu or Puma Punku or all that kind of stuff, there is cool stuff, archaeological stuff. It is so fun and fascinating, but that's the science part of it. And this other stuff, these speculations, Nikola Tesla and all his nonsense, if you pull these programs apart, they're actually just hoping that you weave them together. They're just kind of loose things with great music in the background and somebody's, you know, deep voice narrating it. Any others? Okay. Well, that's it for Little Green Men. Next week I'm going to do deconstructing your faith and why you should believe in the Bible.
Thank you very much.
Yes.